Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You can reach us online at www.malibufunding.net, or you can email us at info@malibufunding.net. Welcome to the show, everybody, and back from his long break and arduous travels, Arvi Abramian, the mortgage doctor. Arvi, how are you?
Good. How are you,
Jeff? I'm just fine. Thank you very much. Tell me, how was your trip? How was everything?
It was exciting, humid, hot. We saw a lot of new cases.
Okay.
Patients, so it was exciting.
Okay. For those of you who don't remember or are new to the show, Arvi is he's the broker for Malibu Funding, does a lot of great work for us here answering questions as well as doing loans. But he is also studying to be a medical doctor, and he has spent some time in New York City as well as out of the country helping people and working with people in certain areas trying to obviously up their medical service. And I really want to thank you for that. I had explained it to the audience about where you were, and now that you're back, tell us how was it out there?
It was basically what we did is we created a free clinic for people in need of healthcare.
Okay.
Because especially in like areas that they're like poor, they don't have enough money to pay for the health insurance. So we were just opening areas and just providing them free service to come in, get
Where
a checkup.
Where was this?
We were in New York City, and I'm from New York. We flew down to Antigua.
Oh, you were in Antigua?
Yes, because remember Hurricane Gonzalez hit that area.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're doing different things from testing patients, from testing for malaria.
Of course.
Different types of things we did. It was
great.
Well,
you know
what?
Thanks for your service. We really appreciate it, and part of what we try to do with Malibu Funding is highlight good things about people and good things about the opportunities that are out there. What's in the news for us today? Give us a brief overview.
There's a lot of stuff on
Okay,
the news.
Let's go.
See,
what is it?
1 week I was gone, and there's a
and
lot of
And the world blew
news.
Up, yes. Exactly right. All right, so?
Okay, so the one thing that caught my eyes, again, this one is from Mortgage Professional America.
Okay.
And it says, big banks, second mortgage cases head to Supreme Court.
Okay, what does that mean?
Guess what?
What?
Big banks.
Big banks.
Back to a Supreme Court.
Okay, so Bank of America, Chase, Citibank, what is the second mortgage thing?
You guessed it. Here, I'm going to read the first part of the article and it's going to outline what it says.
Who wrote that article? Do you have a name for us?
It's actually the MPA,
okay,
Mortgage Professional.
So it's a staff. Okay.
Yes. It says U.S. Supreme Court announced this morning it will decide whether homeowners who declare bankruptcy can avoid a second mortgage if the home value has dropped below the amount they owe on the first mortgage.
Okay.
So, because there's been a war that if you have a second mortgage and you declare bankruptcy, you can write that off. So
okay.
This is a back and forth argument between the bank and the Supreme Court and the homeowners.
Are there many second mortgages being offered right now? I mean, what they used to
None.
Do was called these piggyback loans, right?
That's
right? Where the same loan on the first, the same bank would give you a second in order to make up the difference of the 20%.
And not to pay mortgage insurance.
Oh, I see. Is that how they got around the mortgage
That's
insurance?
Right.
So they just give you a second note.
That's what it was. You get an 80%,
right,
and then get a 20%.
Okay.
So you get a 100% loan, but since you're below 80%, so you're not paying the mortgage insurance, because anytime you go above 80%, there's mortgage insurance.
Okay, so what was happening then is that during the downturn, obviously during the recession, what we had is houses weren't worth even what their first was, let alone what their second was. And if somebody either got a loan modification or went into foreclosure or bankruptcy or had the house taken back in an REO situation, the first was, I guess, negotiated, but the second usually got written off, correct?
Correct.
The buyer would not have to repay that.
Correct.
So what's the lawsuit about?
Because keep in mind, like the way when they put a lien on a title,
yes,
the mechanical lien, such
yes.
as building something on your property,
right,
tax
right.
liens, those have priorities. And then when I say priorities, meaning if you declare bankruptcy, if they come after your
assets,
property,
right.
Those things gonna be paid first.
Okay.
The first mortgage, which is the first lien holder, Okay. Bank of America, Chase, and so
this
forth.
This is after tax liens
after
and
after taxes, correct.
After mechanics liens.
Correct.
Is the first
mortgage.
Okay.
And then second mortgage doesn't have that much priority. And after the 2010 law passed, they could not foreclose on the properties.
Seconds cannot foreclose on the property.
They cannot.
Okay. So what would happen in that case? It's at the Supreme Court, and what are they trying? What are the big banks trying to get to do? Are they trying to say that they have a second note and they want to attach the lien back to the borrower or back to the property?
Back to the borrower.
So the borrower who has discharged in a bankruptcy or a foreclosure all the liens against them, the second note holders on those 80-20s, the same bank that was discharged now wants to take the 20% and reattach it to the borrower?
Correct, correct. So it could be an 80-20, it could be a 75-25.
I see. Okay, so what does it say? Is it just back in Supreme Court's
back
hands?
Back in Supreme Court, because after Dodd-Frank law passed in 2010, having a secondary mortgage is illegal in certain areas.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes, you cannot have a second mortgage.
Okay.
On the same property. So
is that a state-by-state issue, or is that across the board, or is that the banks themselves
usually,
regulating? How's that done?
Usually when they pass a law, there's two different types of law. There's the federal law and the state law.
Okay.
And depending on state to state, they go with the law that is stricter. For example, in California, the California law is stricter than the federal law.
Okay, very good. So California says no seconds?
No seconds.
So if I'm, okay, so what's a home equity line of credit?
Home equity type of loan, those are legal. You can do that.
Okay, but that's not considered a second loan?
No.
Okay, what's that considered?
That's a great question.
It's an open-ended credit,
it's an open-ended,
right? That you may or may not tap into, but it is, in fact, okay, so, well, regardless,
but,
I don't know. What else you got in the news? This is too confusing to me.
Open-ended loans are not the guidelines are different than closed-end loans.
I see.
The ones that actually it's in Supreme Court, those are two closed-end loans, which you cannot do.
Okay, I see. Okay. So you can't have two closed-end loans on the same property, but you can have an open-ended loan, which would also, I guess, be credit cards. Although they're based on there was a signature,
but you
loans.
Cannot use an open end loan to purchase a property.
You can't.
You can't.
Okay.
But you can have that to access your equity and pay for other stuff.
Okay, so if I had equity in an open ended loan and I had an $80,000 house I wanted to buy up in some inland place here in California, I couldn't do that with an open ended loan on a home equity line of credit.
You can use it, but why do you want to do that? The interest rate is a lot higher.
I'm just you know, throwing it out there. You know, you said it was illegal. I don't know what I'm saying. What else you got in the news for us, Arby?
Here's another good one. Same thing from MPA, Mortgage Professionals.
Okay, very good.
It says could decline in median new home size herald return entry level buyers.
Okay.
As you've seen in past 3 months, the home prices have been going down a little bit.
Okay, this is saying the size of the house.
The size of the house.
So what is the size of the house currently and what did it drop to?
I'm looking at the market. It says it's been down 2.3%.
Okay,
from the second quarter.
Okay, so the size of the house then, let's look at this just for 1 second so people understand what we're talking about. Okay, the size of the house in the third quarter was, let's see, 2,414 feet. That's the size of your median house, meaning if you had all the houses that sold in the United States, or is this new homes? I guess this would be new homes, right?
Yes, yes.
So new homes that are built, that means that if you draw a line right in the middle, this is the middle number, right? 2,414 square feet is the size of the house on the median level. It's down from 2,472 feet, which is 2.3% down. And they're saying that the size of the house being smaller will mean that the price is smaller.
That's right.
Is that true?
Well, as always, they say in real estate, location, location, location.
Sure. So if you
got
a...
And it depends where you buy it. You buy it in Malibu, Beverly Hills, or San Francisco, of course, you're going to pay a lot more.
Right, exactly. And the median price really... the median size of the house, to me, you know, like you said, if it's in a good area, a smaller house is not going to mean... diddly to the price because you're going to pay based on where you are. Let's get to our first guest. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. This is Arby Avramian, the mortgage doctor.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, you're welcome. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net.
MalibuFunding.net.
We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You can reach us many different ways. www.malibufunding.net is our website. info@malibufunding.net is our email address. And, of course, on Facebook, you can go to homeloans:Malibu Funding and get us and our page and the likes and dislikes and everything else that Malibu Funding is, both in social media and online, reaching us by phone, and all the different people that work for us on the website. You can contact any one of them. Excellent professionals, and certainly we're here on the radio each and every week. Today and this week, we have a number of different people who are going to be on the air who have worked for Malibu Funding, work for Malibu Funding, or in some capacity in the future will work for Malibu Funding. That's a positive slant on everything. Today with me again is Maggie Miller. Maggie, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Jeff?
I'm just excellent. Thank you very much. Maggie is a mortgage loan officer, and she has a name. What's the name of your company?
It's called Mortgage Capital Resources.
Mortgage Capital Resources. And what's your telephone number in case people want to get a hold of you?
It's 805-527-5877.
Okay. And Maggie, now, as you well know, we're broadcast up in the Bay Area as well as Los Angeles and out in Las Vegas. The 805 area code is somewhere down in the Los Angeles market. Is that true?
It's Ventura County, Jeff.
Okay. Ventura County. Excellent. Okay. How's business out there? What's happening in Ventura County and down in Southern California?
You know, I'm doing quite well, actually. The market's picked up. I'm picking up a lot of purchases. Been working with several different realtors, a couple in the Ventura County and a couple in the L.A. County. So I've got a good range of areas that I'm covering.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now, I've heard, and you can verify this, as I know from the reading I've done and the number of people I've talked to, purchases dominate the market currently. Refis, because rates have gone up, are less. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. Refis used to be primarily my market for quite some time, as you know, and really wanted to hit the market for the realtors and connected with a few good ones that completely, you know, use myself and Malibu Funding as their person that they must get pre-qualified with.
Let me ask you a question. When you're seeking to work with real estate professionals. I know real estate. I've done a lot of real estate in my life, as well as, hey, what's the dog's name?
That one's Gabby.
Oh, hi, Gabby. How are you? So back to the question I had, which was, of course, when talking with real estate agents about your expertise and how can you help them, how do you approach them? How do you assure them that you can get the loan done, you can get it done in a timely fashion, and also get the client the best possible rates?
Well, at first it wasn't easy. You know, you want to just prove yourself, and you just do. I never really felt 100% until after the first couple deals, and then it just clicked. I just I was available for the realtor 24/7. Didn't matter, 7 in the morning till 10, 11, 12 at night.
Wow.
You know, no matter what.
Okay.
And some of them like that. Some of them, you know, it just depends. But for the most part, it's just proving and giving them and knowing that if you give them a rate, you better know that it's got to be the best rate possible out there because they're going to double check you and it doesn't always look good to backpedal.
Okay. And now,
so never try to backpedal.
Never. No. And I agree with that 100%. Obviously saying what you do and meaning what you say and then following through. I mean, that is real estate, but you and I both know. And I think most people who are listening know that real estate and mortgage loans, this is an art. This isn't science. This is working with people on sensitive information, trying to work with lenders who are skeptical and skittish about lending, and then obviously trying to close a deal within a certain time period. It's got to be tough, right?
That is correct. And it's really, really important just to stay on top of and let these people know constantly, 24/7,
right.
How the process works and, you know, keep them in the loop at all times, be there for them, understand their concerns. This is like a huge, huge deal.
Right.
for the last 6 months to a year, it's been a constant explanation to the consumers of the new laws and the new ways things are, because people who I'm dealing with haven't bought a home in 5 or 6 years, and now they're going, right. Oh my goodness, I can't believe what you have to go through now.
Yes.
It's a process, and you can't afford to miss a step, and that's where a good processor comes in.
Okay.
Very, very important. So I'm thankful for that.
Right. Okay. So you've broken down some steps here. Can we get a little more broken down? Okay. I'm a realtor. I've got a borrower. We want to make an offer on a house. I come to you and I say, hey, Maggie, I need some kind of proof, a letter, a pre-qualification or pre-approval. Can you help people with that too?
Absolutely. I get their signed authorization up front along with, you know, income doc and see what I'm dealing with as far as, you know, what they're looking to, you know, what's their maximum amount they're willing to deal with. Usually I've already gone in with the realtor and they tell me what the purchase price is going to be and knowing what they're going to put down. And usually within, I would say a half hour, maybe an hour tops by looking at their stuff, I've gone ahead and given them a pre-approval letter.
Okay, and now this pre-approval letter goes with the buyer to the agent. The agent submits an offer with the pre-approval letter. Do you get calls from the seller's agent to verify what they're talking about? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
And then the one other thing that they submit as well is proof of the down payment, the funds. Absolutely.
Okay.
I get calls from the seller, the seller's agents, confirming, and they all know who I am, and they are with me in through the whole process of the whole transaction at all time through the whole process. It's agents for the seller and the buyer.
Okay, very good. Now, are you in communication with both buyer and seller agents? I know some mortgage brokers, myself included, likes to limit that, but in your particular case, do you talk to anybody and everybody?
You know, it's funny. I recently have done it because the buyer's agent, my agent, is actually giving my information out.
Right.
I'm limited on what I will advise them. I mean, obviously, but I always confirm with the buyer's agent, my agent, am I okay to discuss this? Because, you know, my loyalty is to my agent, obviously, but it's also, I don't have anything to hide, so it's very upfront, but there's certain things I will not discuss with him. I just give him particularly just, you know, the status of where we're at in the deal.
Correct. But
I don't give him anything else because that's not my place, nor would I even want to attempt it.
you're talking about fiduciary responsibility, which is a new term being used with mortgage brokers. Hadn't really occurred since the mortgage meltdown in 2008. The fiduciary responsibility based on the Dodd-Frank Act makes mortgage brokers or mortgage loan officers fiduciary responsibility, which simply means you give the greatest care to your particular client. In some respects, that means you don't tell everything that you know to parties that might necessarily harm your client. Is that right?
That is correct. There are things like recently on a deal where, you know, she gave me the agent's, you know, the agent received my name and number, and sure, there was things that she was poaching to me that I was not at liberty to discuss, nor did I want to. It was a really kind of a difficult deal in the sense of the property, and it was a trust issue. And so I just,
right,
you know, I prefer that they do not give my information out to the agents, but it's becoming more and more
common,
a regular thing that I'm finding on the last couple few deals. And I don't have a problem with it because they're the ones that obviously don't have a problem with me speaking with them. I just know my boundaries,
right,
and I keep it limited to that. But, you know, everyone needs to be, there's nothing to hide. This is the fact, but there's just certain areas that I'm not going to go because it's not my place.
You don't have the ability, for instance, to discuss income in depth, because that's a private information between you, your client, and the lender who's lending the money. The
Absolutely.
Seller doesn't need to know that, nor do they really need to know credit details, other personal information that is strictly confidential between you and your client. That's what
you're saying. Nothing. In fact,
means.
I just basically give them a status of,
right,
like, you know, this one I'm working on now, the appraisal's ordered, or right, we're funding, the docs are signed. Just very generic, basic information that they would,
right,
really find out basically with the escrow in due time. but they feel comfortable. It makes it a lot easier on the buyer's agent because they're not being, I'm very open about it. And I think if you're open about it and you don't try to run from it and you're just telling them the facts, you're okay. You know, okay. You just don't be careful not to step on your realtor's toes because that can really be not a good thing. So I'm very cautious with that.
Well, great. Hey, Maggie, thanks very much for being on the show. Maggie's been on the show a couple of times, and we really appreciate her spending her valuable time. Obviously, it sounds like you've got a lot of things on your plate, helping people to get homes that they are, you know, obviously wanting to buy. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yes, you're welcome, Jeff, and thank you very much.
Sure, anytime. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@MalibuFunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. Give us a call right now. We are awaiting your call to help you solve problems with your mortgage, whether it be a purchase, whether it be a refinance, whether you've got some questions on types of products that we offer. Malibu Funding is both a lender and a mortgage broker, so we have a lot of different ways that we can help you. So go to the phone, go to our website at www.malibufunding.net. You can also email us at info@malibufunding.net. And certainly you can reach us on a ton of social media. Go to Facebook, Home Loans, Malibu Funding, and you will see that we pop right up. Matter of fact, I was on that last night checking out what people are saying and how they're responding to what our message is, and I'm really pleased and happy that everybody is going there and trying to get information from us about what they need. Today's quick topics that I want to get to. In my personal section, main thing about managing expectations in your transaction. How do you handle that? How is your mortgage loan officer handling it? How's the bank handling it? How is your realtor handling it? How do you handle expectations on you on an everyday process? Okay, sounds like big unexplainable terms. What does it really mean? I've got a contract. It says that I'm going to purchase within X amount of time, and I go to my mortgage broker or my bank or my lender and say, okay, here's my contract. And they tell you, what do they tell you? They always tell you the same thing. I do it too. No problem. We can get it done. All right. Between that statement and the actual closing of the deal, it could take up to 6 weeks, maybe even longer. Most normally, it can take less. So how is your stress level managed as the days tick on by and what you're expecting both your broker to do, your real estate agent to do, the numerous different things that you've got to manage within your life? I guess this goes back to how you do manage stress. I mean, people manage it all kinds of ways. They prepare, they look ahead, they ask a lot of questions, they try to form lists of things that must be done by certain dates. I am not a Class A personality. I am not a Type A, which is that person. For me personally, I trust. If someone says, I'm going to do something, I trust it. Personal story. I'm in a situation today, and I've been dealing with a number of lenders over the past 6 months, as everybody knows, as well as warehouse lines and a number of other different things that we have to do for our correspondent lending. We have investors that buy our loans. We have warehouse lines that give us money to loan to you at terrific rates and obviously terrific products. So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a specific investor to tell me we have a green light to go. Now, we've got several loans with them. We've got customers lined up waiting for their loans to fund. And what happens in that scenario whereby I have no control over the investor's process, nor do I have control over the contractual obligations that have already been signed and we're a little late? Okay, so what we try to do at our company when we get into any of these situations is to be informative, to be patient, to try to lay out exactly what we're expecting from our partners. And sometimes you have to throw up your hands and say, you know what? I'm at the mercy of other people. Now, I know that that is not the best thing you want to hear, but I would rather tell a customer, a partner, somebody that I'm in business with that this is the way it is. This is the truth. This is where we are in the process, even if I don't have all the answers. Why? Because it comes down to it. I'm a pretty honest and straightforward person. I'd rather give it to you straight rather than try to tell you, oh, it's this or it's that. Common excuses. Okay, what's the number one common excuse? No, it's not checks in the mail. Well, that's the best one, you know. Or I signed the check. I don't know what happened. Well, sir, you know, here's the check right here. There is no signature on it. Okay, we all know those particular methods by which we're going to be able to send out checks and don't sign them. So the typical excuses that we hear in our business is processing is screwed up. The escrow hasn't sent over the final HUD. The real estate agents can't negotiate a extension that we need. The lender is at the end of the month and they're real busy. Look, all of these are excuses. But sometimes it just does take more time than you want it to take. And I'm in a situation right now where we're actually like this. Now, quite normally, we have five different investors. We have five different warehouse lines. We have a number of ways that we can fund loans and to be able to sell them to investors. This doesn't often happen. Although I will tell you, when you're in process with another company or any other company, one of the good things about Malibu Funding is that we are direct with our investors. What does that mean? That means that the investor is buying and servicing the loans. Most of my investors, I would say 4 out of 5 of my investors, buy the loan and service them, which means that there is no secondary level of approval. What does secondary level of approval mean? Malibu Funding approves your loan. Great, we're ready to go. Okay, now I have to ship the package to my investor to see if they're going to buy it. Normally, the guidelines with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, whether it's a reverse mortgage or whether it's FHA, they're all very well understood. However, different lenders have different overlays on products that they will or will not lend on, whether it be a FICO score, whether it be income documentation, whether it be any number of items in the appraisal or on the credit report that they have to explain. So if those guidelines are not met by the investor, they're not going to buy your loan. So that's why when I, you know, send my loans that we lend on to the investor, I know right away that they're going to buy the loans. Part of the equation is that speeds up the process so that you have benefit of me being able to say, you know what, your loan is approved and we can fund in X amount of time. I don't have to ship it off to another guy to get their approval and then come back to you and say, okay, I approved it, but now there are secondary approvals by my investor. That's the benefit of Malibu Funding. However, many lenders don't have that. So when there is a delay by some of the investors, especially at the end of the month. Now, why this is in the lender business, it always happens. At the end of the month, there's always a delay. Always. It's because everybody jams all the loans for the end of the month. In the loan business, in any business, we deal in 30-day cycles. So we're looking to fund within that 30 days. So if you have a submission at the end of 1 month or at the beginning of a month, everybody wants to fund by month's end because bonuses are developed on a month-by-month basis, compensation is by month-by-month basis, and therefore, at the end of the month, everybody's rushing to try to get things in so that they can either reach their bonus or get paid on loans for that month. So these delays that are attributable to the time factor within each month are just inherent in this business. They're inherent in every business, but certainly in the loan business. So managing expectations from me to my people that work for Malibu Funding and the customers that come to us and trust us to be able to get them loans, I have to say, look, here's the way it is. Here's how it lays out. This is what I'm going to do. And during the process, I will tell you how it's going. That's how my people are trained. That's how Malibu Funding approaches the business. And that's probably the best and straightest way to deal with it. Problems sometimes arise. So wouldn't you rather know about it up front? Okay, the stress of this in each and every deal is huge. I understand it. You're a seller. You want to sell your house because you've just bought another house. So your contract says that when you sell this house, you're going to take that money and go buy another house. That's inherently stressful. I, as a broker, absolutely know that. And as an aside, the California Association of Realtors, because we're talking in California, and hi, everybody up in the Bay Area, talking about the California Association of Realtors and the new contract. They have just come out with a new purchase contract. The old purchase contract was 8 pages. The new purchase contract is 10 pages. I am actually attending several seminars and classes to learn the differences between the old purchase contract and the new purchase contract. Now, I've read through it a couple times. To me, there's a lot of extra language, a lot of lawyer language, a lot of ambiguities, a lot of things that I wouldn't put in the contract, but I'm not a lawyer. So this, again, is going to add stress to every realtor in California starting first of the year. Why is that? Because all the clauses are different. All the time periods are different. Everything within this contract is going to add stress. And the lender is going to be able to say this and say, okay, I don't understand some of this. There's going to be a slowdown in the process. So managing stress levels through both the CAR new forms and the process with which to get a loan, just understanding that everybody in the business being human and being what they are, we'll do the best we can. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Give us a call at 888-713-2929, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
888-713-2929 is our telephone number. www.malibufunding.net is the website. Come to us on email, info@malibufunding.net, and you can also reach us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, Home Loans: Malibu Funding, and we'll pop right up. We get a lot of different people come to us through the Facebook. So we're very, very interested in having you go to there as well as the website. On the website, you're going to see a number of different things that'll interest you. The radio show is archived there. You can listen to. You can also go to the loan officer page. When we have a number of different loan officers there, several that have been on the show already. And today we're also really happy to have with us Rick Guerra, who is a mortgage loan officer on that page as well. Rick, how are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing really good today.
Excellent. Very good. Rick has been in the business quite a long time. Experience is a big deal with us. As you all know in the audience out there, there's two kinds of loan officers. There's the person that works over at the bank and they're registered, which means that they did a background check and had their big bank, Bank of America, Citibank, Chase, sign them up. But to be a mortgage loan officer license, which is what Rick is, you have to go through schooling. You have to go through several different tests, background checks, a number of different qualifying requirements that both the state and federal government have. Experience is one of those requirements. And so I'm real happy to talk to Rick here today. Rick, how's your business?
Business is good. Business is picking up. You know, it seems like the mortgage industry and the world within it is growing.
Okay. We talk a lot about the reasons why people do things. I know that motivating people to work hard is great. And I was just, for the audience, Rick has his young son in here today. So the biggest motivator in the world are children, to go out and make a better world for them and obviously earn a great living for them. So we're real happy that you got a young son and you're working very hard.
Thank you. You're not kidding. Colton is certainly a big part of my ambitions today. He certainly likes to eat and he loves toys.
And you know what? That's good. Most people who are in our listening audience, first-time home buyers, are out there thinking, okay, I've got a young family. Rick's got a young family. How do I afford a house? What am I looking at in terms of down payment? How can I get into the market? The show's broadcast up in San Francisco. Very high real estate prices. Oakland, San Jose. We have a number of real estate agents that work for us up there. Client comes to you, says, look, I want to buy up in Marin County. I want to buy in Los Angeles County. I want to buy, well, as you were just saying, you work down in Florida as well as Texas and Georgia?
That's right. Texas, Georgia, Florida, California, you know, and several other states. Absolutely.
What's the most popular loan you see right now?
Well, you know, the most popular loan still stands in conventional lending, your typical 30-year fixed conventional. There's flexibility. There's options that you have to stay within those conventional lending guidelines and still avoid mortgage insurance.
Okay.
And that seems to be where a lot of the conversation lands, is how much down payment do I need to bring in to not pay mortgage insurance, which is your typical FHA transaction.
Right. Okay. So give me a scenario then. I'm a guy. I've got a pretty good job. I want to buy a house. I do not want to have mortgage insurance. How much money would I have to bring in?
Yeah, 10%.
10%?
10%. You know, there are loans as low as 5% down that you can qualify with no mortgage insurance.
Okay, very good. Now, we work with a number of banks on the mortgage broker side. As Rick, you well know, you've worked with a number of them. When you go and talk to the lenders about scenarios for your buyers, are your buyers more interested in the rate? Are they more interested in the down payment? Are they more interested in just getting the house? You know, what's the mindset for your typical borrower buyer?
Well, I would say that all buyers are very sensitive to interest rate. There's a lot of advertising and media that really, you know, promotes the interest rates. And I would say most folks out there are looking at a 15-year rate and they think, wow, that's an extraordinary rate. That's what I want. But when it gets into the scenario, when you're breaking it down with the actual client, you bring in all these figures such as down payment.
Right.
Now, down payment is clearly the biggest obstacle.
Right. Okay. Okay. So down payment being the biggest obstacle. Okay, I'm someone, I got a certain amount of down payment. I might be able to scrape together 10%. Do I need reserves? Do I need other kind of money like closing? Can I borrow that closing on a purchase? How does that work?
Yeah, no.
No?
No. You would basically have to bring in your down payment.
And closing costs and reserves. Okay.
Now, you know, there's a broad spectrum. There's a creative way that we can lower your exposure to cost, but the idea that there's not cost in the loan, that wouldn't be realistic.
Okay, and this is competitive with other people around. I mean, all mortgage brokers who are shopping this particular loan or any particular loan are going to go to the same lenders. So what you're telling people is the same thing they're going to hear from somebody else.
There's no question.
Okay.
It's a level playing field.
Right, exactly. So advertising. You mentioned advertising before. There's nothing that irritates me more than hearing rate, because you'll get a DITEC rate, or you'll get a cash call rate, or you'll get a LendingTree rate, and they're just harping on the rate. But these type of companies are talking about a very specific borrower, right?
Very specific.
Right.
It is just a small window.
Right, exactly. So if it's not in a cookie cutter style, you're not going to get that rate.
Absolutely not.
Right. And if you have, let's say you have a little bit of a hiccup in your work history. Last year you went from a W-2 to a 1099 earning. That's going to affect you.
This is going to cause problems, absolutely.
Okay, but we do have solutions.
There are solutions.
Right, but you're not going to get the best rate. And that's what the most important thing here is, to understand working with professionals. Make sure you give us a call at 888-713-2929, and so you can talk to Rick. As you can hear, he's a dad. He wants to be able to do well for himself as well as you. He understands getting into a home product is not necessarily cookie cutter like what you're going to hear in the radio, right?
Absolutely true.
Okay. So you just did a transaction for us, yes?
I certainly did.
Okay. The transaction had some hiccups with the lender, yes?
Yes, it did. Had several.
Okay, very good. Now, one thing that we have to stress, I guess, in all of this is that everybody in this transaction, again, last week I think I said on the show, we are not scientists. We are more, we're very good servers at a very good restaurant. And then what we're trying to do for you is to serve you better. You see, we just got a call right now, so Rick is going to just have to hold on to that until we're off the air so that he can get that call. So when we get the loan and we submit it to the lender,
yes,
or if we are the lender on the particular loan, give us a scenario whereby delays might happen to a loan. If you've got a 30-day close and you're at day 25 and you're supposed to be drawing documents to be able to sign and then fund the loan, what are some of the things that can happen and have happened recently to you?
Yeah, you know, clearing these conditions, sometimes, you know, conditions call for.
What are conditions?
Yes, every loan has them. When you submit a package, the underwriter's going to take a look at pay stubs, W-2s, and the package you submit.
Right.
And then they're going to have questions. They're going to come out and ask, well, I need to verify where money came from. I need to verify further your income, a verification of employment.
Right.
Which, speaking of those issues, we've had verification of employment. There's a lot of third-party services that large companies use. You have to go verify a borrower's employment, and they don't want to furnish information. It is against their policy. This becomes a problem for us. There are solutions.
Okay, exactly. So you will get to the end of the deal, and the actual package has been submitted. A number of what they call conditions come back to the loan officer and to the escrow company, which then have to go through a third-party company in order to verify what the information is that was just given.
That's right.
Okay. And that slows down the process.
Yes, it does.
And then once it's all in, there's probably 48 to 72 hours before you fund the darn thing.
That's right. That's coordination.
Okay. So it's not always the real estate agent. It's certainly not always the loan officer. And the process itself is run by human beings. So understand that we're here to help, but we're also, you know, human beings both in the industry and in the fulfillment of services for you. Rick, great to have you on. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
And thank you very much for listening. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. With me again today is Arvi Avramian for the close. Hey, Arvi.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. Excellent show. A lot of good energy. I like having our people on the show. You know, we get a feeling for who they are, the people that they're working with, and the type of personality. You can hear a lot in the voices as to the type of people they are, the excitement they have in the business, the knowledge, everything else. Obviously, we're talking about Maggie Miller and Rick Guerra, both are mortgage loan officers for Malibu Funding. And if you want to see their profiles or who they are, go to www.malibufunding.net. Certainly give us a call at
888-713-2929.
And we are on Facebook as well. I don't know if we've plugged that yet, but please let me do it now. Go to Facebook, Home Loans, Malibu Funding, and you will find our Facebook where we've had a lot of visitors, a lot of inquiries, and actually we're getting a lot of business through that particular channel. So we really are very happy that you are all tuning in, you're listening, you're going, you're finding out who we are. And certainly with Maggie and Rick, you can go to our own website, the MalibuFunding.net website, and find out exactly who they are and what they're doing. We're getting probably four or five applications a day through our website, which is about 30 a month. Now think about that. 3 years ago, how many did we get? 4 years ago, rather, in 2010?
Well, that was like, even if you were getting the application, there was not enough equity in the houses.
There were no equity in the houses. I mean, even in an area like San Francisco or San Jose or out in Oakland, the equity in the homes then compared to now was non-existent. Mm-hmm. So basically, we were watching dust balls roll across the floor. I'm kicking things around, you know.
It's like, you know, one of those cowboy movies, you're walking in the
yes, exactly. The tumbleweeds are coming across. Exactly. Right. Well, now we're really busy. And the people that we bring to you each week on the radio show are giving you their opinion based on the market being busy. Now, all markets are not the same. I know that out in our Las Vegas office, where this show also reaches, it's not as busy. There isn't as much equity in the show. Las Vegas represents a 40% investment market versus where we're talking about in the Bay Area, where it's primarily residential. You get single-family residents, first-time, long-time homeowners that want to go there, live there. They want to live close to where they're working, and that's why in those areas where the employment is huge, commercial real estate is really hot, and obviously the residential real estate is really hot. Now, conversely, what's happening with rates out there right now is that rates are pretty good. My suggestion is you call us and you get the rate locked in today that you couldn't get last week, and it's quite possibly you're not going to get them tomorrow. And the reason I say that is not to prompt you to get off the couch and give us a call. Well, it is actually to prompt you to get off the couch and give us a call. But the reality is that the mortgage rates have what we thought was going to happen over a year ago, where they were averaging over 4.5% to 5%, we were all thinking, okay, they're cutting tapering, which means the Fed is stopping buying their mortgage-backed securities. And the bonds, we all thought the rates were going to go up and steadily rise. So we were really anxious to get people in. Getting back to our discussion on what we were talking about, both with the big banks in the area of going to the Supreme Court to try to reattach second liens to mortgage holders that got relief through bankruptcy. What do you think about all that? I mean, I'm confused by a lot of it just because what's really right? If I borrow money from you and then I borrow money from somebody else and yet I don't have any money.
I mean, they cannot come back and penalize the buyers because of the way they lend their money, and they're saying now, basically, in other words, they're crying wolf.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just very confusing. I think the overhaul of the mortgage lending business would be great, but it's not going to happen. The idea that the big banks, obviously, who were bailed out, now want to reattach liens to mortgage holders who they probably shouldn't have given the money to in the first place.
That's right.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Another way to look at it, they took that money, they wrote it off, they didn't pay taxes.
Oh, okay.
And now they want to go back and collect that money from the buyers and mortgage holders, and because you know what, they need more. They want more
money. Well,
that's
a good point.
It's greed.
What happens to the borrower who didn't repay the second mortgage? Is that viewed as income? And do they have to pay taxes on that now?
That's right.
I mean, that's new, right?
That's new.
I mean, we had this for years in the mortgage business where that was one of the downfalls, obviously, of doing short sales, was that any relief you got from the bank was viewed by the IRS as income, and you had to pay taxes on that. For the life of me, I can't figure out why they think that that's an income for you. It's really debt relief, but at the same time, it's the IRS, so who really understands?
They always want a piece of the pie.
Well, I know, but that's my point. So here with the big banks going to the Supreme Court, obviously they have the money, by the way, that they got $125 billion from the federal government to be able to loan it out to people in order to free up credit during the credit freeze, which now they're using to fight the case at the Supreme Court. It's something to watch. Obviously,
that's right.
We have to keep on top of it for the customers and for our own edification. But really, that's big boy banking, and we have really very little say in any of it. You can elect all the elected officials you want, but when it comes to that kind of stuff, no idea.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. With me again today is Arby. Hey, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
Okay, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.